think a little bit today about the Lord and an example he gave us. We'll look over in John 18. He was our great example. And in that, afraid too many times, it's easy in the world to say, yes, Jesus is our example, and never dive into what that means. So specifically this morning, we want to look at the example that Jesus gave us of basically dying out to who he was, to his flesh. A willingness to suffer in the flesh that the spirit might be what it needs to be. And so we want to look in John 18, and we're going to pick up the story here where Jesus is in the garden, and the Judas and the band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, they come with the lanterns and the torches, and they come to take Jesus. And so as they begin to take him, Simon Peter took issue. And if we pick up in the 10th verse, it says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus." Peter did not walk around looking for someone to injure in his life. If you look back over the story of Peter before this, you won't find that Peter walked around trying to injure anyone. He did not have that in him. He lived a life where it seemed he let other people be, and he didn't look intentionally to do that. But there came a moment where there were those who came to try to take something that was precious from him. And Peter, I don't know if he wasn't really sure how to react or if this was his reaction. You know, "I'll leave you alone. Everything's fine. I want to treat others right unless you come to take something from me that's my own." Or maybe that was his intention, or maybe it was there and in the moment, and someone's taking something that is one of the most precious things in the world from him, and his instant reaction was to grab a sword and to fight, to defend that, and to stop that from happening, and not allow that suffering to occur, not allow that to happen to something that was precious and meant a lot to him. And so Jesus looked at Peter. Well, it doesn't say he looked at him, but we're throwing that in there. "And then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath." Peter, for whatever reason you chose to draw that sword out, I mean, if whether it was planned or it's in the moment, the reason why you're drawing it out to prevent something from being taken from you, from a suffering for happening, to try to stop something from happening that your flesh does not want to see happening. But Peter, this isn't what's right. This isn't what you should be doing in this moment. This isn't what my Father or I want you doing in this moment. And he said, there's a reason. It's not just that we don't want you to grab a sword and to cut off Malchus' ear, which the Lord doesn't want us to do that. But there's even a greater purpose behind us. He said, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" And that is the question to us today. I don't know if I could write all of that on the board. I don't guess I'll take time to do it. But the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Do you know that, and I'll speak to the children as you're learning too here. I speak to all of us, but I want to emphasize, I understand as you're a child and you're growing up, the first instinct is someone comes along and takes a toy and you want to take it back. You want to defend what is yours. And that grows as you grow older, and there's more and more things. And there's a struggle inside of us that's something besides just the struggle with evil. There's a struggle to save this life. Something that anywhere in the world where you might present that idea, there would hardly be anyone who would say, "Oh, that's not right," or "That's wrong." And it's definitely not considered evil, but yet it's not what the Lord has called us to. He's called us to something that's going to cause us to have to lay even that down. Even that part of us that wants to rise up and protect that which we deem ours and justly ours, wants to rise up and protect that. There's something the Lord is calling us to that's going to require us to be willing to lay even that down. Whether in this case it was Jesus. And we want to think about Jesus in this situation as being a person that Peter loved and that Peter cared about. And it could be that with us, or it could be ourselves, some way, something about our own life, or it could be any other thing that we deem precious to us, our homes, our houses, our lands, our many things that could extend out to. The point in mentioning any of them is just to understand that it all has to do with what we value in the flesh, so to speak. And those things God has called us, and the way He has called us is to have a willingness to decide whether we're going to cling to them or we're going to take the cup that God gives us to drink and be willing to drink that. And it will mean at times laying down those things. But the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You know, if we go on down in this chapter here to the, let's pick up in about the 33rd verse. And this is where he's before Pilate, and it says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. And herein is the vision that we have to get, to live this life and to be willing to take the cup that Jesus has offered us. If we can't see that God's kingdom is something beyond what this world is, then we're going to have a struggle living the way God wants us to. It's going to be hard to take the cup that He presents to us to drink. But if we can get a hold of the fact that we're walking in a heavenly kingdom, that we're actually displaced a little bit right now, and if there's something that God sees, He can pull away a little more in our life and it can get us closer to Him and closer to that kingdom that we're truly a part of, then if we can get a hold of that, it helps us in laying down those things and being willing to take that cup the Lord has given us, because we're not just doing it because the Lord told us to, which is enough of a reason to do anything. But we're doing it because of what we're living for in life. We're living for that kingdom then. We see that is what our motivation is. It no longer resides in temples made of hands or buildings made of hands or our possessions that seem to have become, and I say it that way, that we seem to have gotten by our hands, because the Lord gives us, if we follow Him, the things He gives us, they're His already anyways. They're already His. But it's no longer in those things. That's not where my kingdom is. That's not where, as a Christian, there's not a point. It's a matter of us growing to understand that. The minute we become a Christian, we become part of something besides this. And the rest of our lives, the Lord's working on us to get us to be willing to lay this down. Yes. In order to take that cup that He has for us. That cup of joy. And you know, I say it's a cup of joy because, yes, there was suffering in that cup that was being presented to Jesus. But what does it say about Him? He was faithful to take that cup, and what happened? He sat down on the right hand of God to all His, the whole world, it says, to be made His footstool. And He is, I wish I could get the words that verse says. I didn't actually have that one this morning, and I'm struggling a little bit with that. But a name above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It was a cup of joy. Yes, it took suffering in the flesh to get it, but in the eyes of the Lord and His kingdom, it was a cup of joy. It purchased salvation to a few souls. No, to millions of souls, to all who would believe, to everyone. It opened the door to salvation, but this was the cup. There were some things in that cup that were going to be hard to go through, but it was for a purpose that was greater and beautiful and wonderful and brought joy, not just to Him personally, but to the whole world, to anyone who would believe. This is the cup that's presented to us, that the Lord has for us as a cup. And no, the Lord saved the world. That's not what we're going to do. But it still carries that same, and He's our example. He's our example in what He did. He's our example in what He received. It still carries that cup of blessing, of reward, for being willing to lay down our lives and take up that cup and drink it. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. If it were of this world, then the Lord would say, pick up the sword. Go fight for it. That's how you're going to... Well, let me retract. He would say, pick up the sword. That's how you're going to go fight for it. But instead, he said, take the cup. This is how you're going to go fight for it.
Yes.
You're going to lay down who you are. And as you do that, then the power of the Lord is going to be manifest in your life. The power of God to salvation was manifested through Christ because he took up the cup and he drank it. And he didn't interfere with it himself. He willingly submitted to it, and he wouldn't allow it to be interfered with those around him. He said, Peter, no, put up your sword. Shall I not drink this cup? This is what the Lord's given me. This is my path. This is the way he's called me to go fight, to go win these battles in life. I thank the Lord. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. 1 Peter, the second chapter. First Peter 2, and we'll drop down here to the 21st verse. It says, for even hereunto were ye called. So see, Christ was not just the purchaser of salvation. He was the example for what our lives would be as we come after him in this salvation. All right? So he said, for hereunto were you also called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. All right? And it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, whom when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. This is the path. This is the cup. The Lord has all the rest of it. But what about this? What about that's all the Lord's? He has all of it in his hands. It's completely in his control. And this is just simply the cup he's given me to be able to have a life where I can say that the Lord has all of that in his hands. Because the Lord's not going to play a tug of war with you. You're either going to pick up the cup and you're going to drink it. Or if you reach over here and you don't take the cup, well, then it's because you're pulling on some of these things he's calling you to lay down. And if you grab them and pull them, the Lord tells us, and we can go over in his word how it says there, he will not fight against your will. If your will is to not be willing to take that cup and you want to pick up what he's telling you to lay down, then the Lord's going to say, it's yours. You do what you, I mean, it's not really, but you go do what you will with it. I'm telling you what you need to do. Here's the cup. It's your choice whether to drink it or not. But to pick up the cup, we have to lay down the things that are in our hands. All right? And so it says that he was our example, that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. I know I just read that twice. But I did it on purpose. Because like I said, sometimes it's easy for us to claim Jesus as our example and not dive into what that meant and what it meant. There's so much in just these simple verses here that can teach me in life about the cup that he's showing me. If I don't pay attention to his word, if I don't pay attention to the things he's teaching me, I'm going to be going right by the cup over and over and over and over again in my life and wondering why things aren't working out for the Lord in my life, why there seems to be struggles. And the fact is because I'm probably not paying close enough attention to what he's saying. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. That covers so much of my life. The Lord just gave me something there. Oh, Lord. Oh, I just heard him say something. Oh, wait a minute. You said that you didn't respond that way when people reviled you. Lord, this is the cup you're calling me to drink. This is the suffering you're calling me to. Sometimes we can be so focused on, well, I'm going to go to some foreign country, and that's wonderful, go. You know, if the Lord leads you, go. Or I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do this great thing. And in the midst of the day-to-day things that he's taught us about, that are all through his word, that we see over and over and over again, and we walk right past the cup that the Lord has for us. Yes. And we continue to cling to who we are, and we fail to lay down who we are in life and take up what the Lord has for us. Lord, help us to pay attention. Realize he was our example. Yes. He showed us day by day. That's why Amber mentioned that song, and as the Lord started giving me this message, I thought, yeah, that's probably a song we should sing today. It goes right with what we're saying. Day by day, taking up the cup and drinking. There are sufferings the Lord is calling us to. And I hate to say them that way, but there are sufferings in the flesh in order to drink the cup of joy in our life. That's what they are. And He's calling us to it. It says here, if we drop back a few verses in this chapter, 1 Peter, the second chapter, and drop back to the 19th verse. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. You know, the Lord's about so much more than just what's right and what's ours. In fact, that's something that He's working to move us past in our life. He wants us just to be willing to take the cup. Stop worrying about what's right and what's ours and what should be given us. That's not the Lord. That's carnality. That is directly opposed to who God is in our life. What's right and what's ours is directly opposed to who God is. What's right and what's ours in the Lord is Jesus. We just sang a song that said, Christ is mine, my heart's dear treasure, greater than all earthly store. But this is what's right and what's mine. Do those two things go together? No, they don't. They're two opposite things. Can we sing the song or not? What's right and what's ours? That's not of the Lord. All right, that's carnality. Christ is mine, my heart's deep treasure, greater than all earthly store. Oh, there's so much in that song. Maybe we won't go all into it right now, but you can look at those words and just think about Christ is mine. Okay, yes, think about what that song. We've sung that song a lot. Think about what it's saying. Can I sing that song? Well, in the Lord, I should be able to. And if I'm struggling, if I look at it and go, oh, wait a minute. Well, Lord, help me to take that cup, to drink it. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Amen. So that's our follow through on our part. Psalms 37. Let's look over there for just a minute. Psalms 37 and 1. But Lord, what's right and what's ours? There's so many people trying to take that from us, and we've got to make sure we don't. Really? Psalms 37 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass, and wither as the green herb. That's the way the world lives. That's the justice that's in the world. What's right and what's ours, all right? But in the Lord, here's what we have. Here's the cup that we can pick up and drink. Here it is. It says, trust in the Lord. We can pick up a cup and we can drink to trust in the Lord. To realize, oh Lord, I really enjoyed that. I really did. Thank you for it. It was good and right. It was a great thing in my life. But Lord, you're what means something to me. You're the one who gave it to me. Lord, you're the one. Thank you for them. But if you choose to change the environment around me, that's fine. Because Lord, what I want is you. And what I'm trusting in is you. It's not in those things, really. Well, Lord, help me that it's not. Lord, help me this morning that it's not. That it's in who He is. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily, thou shalt be fed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. It's not in those things. Thank God for everything that He has given me in life. People, places, things, possessions. They've all been a blessing. They were not anything evil in them, but thank God that He can help me to not live for those things and not attach myself to those things. That I can trust in the Lord, because if He takes those things away, that's okay. Because what I was living for wasn't those things, it was for the Lord who provides for me day by day. And with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. And I'm going to mix some of those words up, but that, again, is a song that just speaks to the Lord providing for us in every single way. So I can trust Him. This is the cup He's given me. Yeah, there's some suffering in the flesh, but here's what the rewards are. He'll provide for me daily. Verily, thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Saints, don't start delighting yourself in the things He's put around you to enjoy. I mean, enjoy them, but delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the one who has given you those things to enjoy. As long as He sees fit, and if the day comes that He decides to pull them from you, continue to delight yourself in the Lord. Yes. He is what makes it all worthwhile. All right? And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What are my desires? Well, if my heart's where it needs to be, the Lord knows what I need in life. He knows, Lord, that, but you know I have this responsibility and I have this responsibility. I do have responsibilities. I'll take care of them. The Lord is telling us right here, don't worry about it. I'll give you the desires of your heart. And that verse means a little more than that. But I want to highlight that right here, that we can trust Him. The things that we, as we let go of things, there's some things that, Lord, but I have to provide for this. And I have to provide. Lord's got all that. He'll take care of it in just a way better than we could imagine. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Take the cup. He's going to take care of everything.
Yes.
You know, that's what He's saying there. Take the cup. He's going to take care of everything in our life. 2 Timothy, and I know I've mentioned this verse lately. I don't know, to be honest, if it was here or not, but it's the verse the Lord brought back to us again in this message. 1 Timothy, the first chapter. I'm sorry, I keep saying 1 Timothy. It's 2 Timothy, the first chapter. All right? The 10th verse we'll pick up. Let's back up. I'm sorry. The 8th verse. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That's what the cup is. It's the power of God in your life. If you're willing to pick it up and drink it, then the Lord will, you're going to experience the power of God working in your life, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. What greater thing is there to be afraid of? But the Lord has it all in His hands. Every bit of it. Dad mentioned something about the resurrection this morning, and Paul saying that if Christ, we are all men, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But we have a hope that reaches beyond this life.
Yes.
He abolished death. When I pick up this cup to drink of the Lord and drink of who He is, I'm picking up a cup to experience life everlasting in my life.
Yes.
I have a hope that reaches beyond this world and beyond death. In Christ, death has been abolished, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. That's what Paul was appointed to. God's got an appointment for you and for me. If we're going to fulfill it, it takes picking up that cup and drinking it. All right? And for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I picked up the cup and I drank of it, and there are some sufferings in my life in the flesh because of it. But nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You know, there's one day in all of our lives that matters when it really comes down to it. Now, understand what I'm saying by the term matters right here. There's one day where it's all going to come to a head. We could say it that way. And that's the day where we stand before Him and we hear, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your reward. You know, that's an option. That's the option I'm choosing when I choose to pick up this cup and drink it. I'm choosing to hear the Lord say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Great is your reward. Great is your... You know, everything we have suffered in this life, I know it's a walk of faith, and we go through things, and we battle the devil trying to tell us, well, was it really worth it? And we want to hold the faith and say, yes, it is. I want to take this cup day by day. But, you know, there comes a day where our faith is made sight. Thinking about a song came to me this morning, even that where our faith will be made sight. And it says, I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow and no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings, behold my God, and fall on my feet and rise. You know, whatever's happened in my life that it meant for me to pick up this cup and drink it, when that happens, can you imagine? Let yourself think about it a little bit. Don't get so mired in drinking the cup that you forget why you're drinking it. Think about that. Get you a song. Get you something that really opens your heart up to consider, that bolsters your faith, to realize that there's a day coming when no matter what you went through, it's going to be worth it to have drunk this cup. Do you think that the Lord himself is sorry that he did what he did, that he told Peter to put the sword up, that he was going to drink this cup that the Father had given him to drink? No, I don't think he's regretted at one time. And you know what? We won't either. There won't be an inch of regret in us if we're willing to take this cup up. Lord, help us. Be encouraged. Get you a song. Get you something that bolsters your faith. Pray for the Lord to give you something that in the midst of your trials can come to your mind and can remind you of that day that matters most. That when you want to hear the Lord say, come in, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. You know, I have a couple of verses here to share to finish up. And let's look over here in Acts, the 5th chapter. And this is just one. There's so many verses that actually came to my mind, and that's why I paused for a minute. I was wondering, well, Lord, do I even share this morning? Because there were a lot more, and I don't have those verses. But I want to go ahead and share this with you. Acts 5 and the 40th verse. And this is when they have been telling people about Jesus, and the chief priest and all had pulled them in one time and said, don't speak about this guy's name anymore. And they went right out and did it again. They just took the cup the Lord had for them and said, well, Lord, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? We're going to take the cup. We're going to drink, and we're going to tell people about Jesus and all. And so then they pulled them back in there. And so they were ready to do all kinds of things to them. But the chief priests and all the Pharisees, they had a discussion. And so then they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. What are you living for? You know what? If you're living for this world, you're not going to endure very long in this kind of situation. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. But if you're living for Jesus and you're willing to take up his cup and you drink it, you're going to be like these people right here. All right. What did it say? And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. How is it that someone can actually react that way when they're beaten, when they're told not to do what's their greatest joy to do, and someone's trying to restrict them from it? Is it because they were some special kind of people? No, it's because they had taken the cup and they had drunk the cup of joy in their life. And there wasn't anything this world could do to turn them around at this point, because they knew it's not even of this world. It's something even greater. And in all of that, it just, when they were beaten, when they were reviled, there was a rejoicing that just came out of them. I want to live that way. And I know it doesn't just happen because I want it to. It happens because I'm willing to take the cup that the Lord has for me and drink it in my life. Who will suffer with the Savior? Mark, the 8th chapter. It says in the 8th chapter in the 34th verse, this is Jesus, and it says, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, deny who he is, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then it goes on to say, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. I don't want the Lord to be ashamed. I want him to be looking for me like I'm looking for him. I want to take up my cross. I want to take up this cup and drink it day by day. That's where I'm going to be ready. That's where, when the Lord comes back, he's going to not be ashamed of me. He's going to be looking forward to seeing me just like I'm looking forward to seeing him. And what a glad reunion that will be. You pray for me.